Welcome to the May 12th service from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40, and the sermon is entitled, The Call to Love, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
Matthew chapter number 22, take your Bibles and go there as we think about the study of the greatest and what the great commandment is, the great commandment of God and what we are called to do. How many of you, if I ask you this morning, how many commandments there were? Some of you may answer that question by saying 10. How many of you hang the 10 commandments on the wall of your house? Anybody? Oh, there's a couple people. Okay. Maybe I grew up with the 10 commandments hanging on the wall of my house. If you answered 10 commandments, you're right. But those 10 commandments are the commandments that God gave the Israelites. If you are a Jewish person, the way that you would answer that question would be 613. You would say there are 613 commandments, the mitzvah pulled from the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. And they would not be wrong, but they live their life trying to obey 615 commandments of the Old Testament law. And I'm just going to mark that down. That is next to impossible. Today, I ask a church, how many commandments are there? And the answer is 2. Jesus says that all of the law, all of the books, all of the commandments could be boiled down into 2 great commandments. And here's what I want you to know, church, those of you that are visiting today, is we must do these 2 very well. In doing so, the 22nd chapter of the book of Matthew, it offers a trap for Jesus. There are 3 different groups that are after Jesus. And those 3 groups are the Herodians, the Sadducees, and the Pharisees. And those 3 groups of people set individual traps for Jesus, trying to catch him and so that they could prosecute him and so that they could kill him. And these 3 groups are working separate, but they are working together to get Jesus. That is the only thing that brings them together, because they can't agree on anything. The Herodians answer to King Herod. Pharisees and Sadducees, they are political groups, and they hate each other except when it came to Jesus. And as Jesus brought them together, he brought 3 separate traps in chapter number 22. Now, I'm not going to go through those traps today, but here's what I want you to know. As we're picking up scripture, the Herodians have swung and missed. The Sadducees have swung and missed. And now the Pharisees are up to bat. And the Pharisees send a lawyer, send a scribe, someone that knows the law well, and they try to trip Jesus up. The Herodians' question was this: is it lawful to give to Caesar or not? And Jesus answered their question, but knowing that answer, a yes or no answer, it would have put him in danger with one of the other groups. And as the Sadducees came, they answered and said, there's a woman who was married to a man. And in biblical times, if that man died, then that woman was passed on to the brother, the next brother. And so here's the question. As the brothers die, there's 7 brothers. That woman is married to each one of them because each one of them dies and it passes away. Whose husband is she when they get to heaven? Well, here's the reality. The Sadducees, they did not even believe in the resurrection. So why are they even worried about it? They just want to trip Jesus up. And there is no marriage in heaven. But here come the Pharisees. And they ask the question in Matthew chapter number 22. I want you to look at verse number 33. It says this: but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? There is the question. The question to try to trip Jesus up is, which one of these questions is the greatest in all of the book, in all of the law, which is the first? And here is how Jesus answers that question. Look at verse number 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbors as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. So if you took the Bible and you boiled it down, Jesus says there are two commandments that we must do. And both of them involve the same action. Look at me, church. Love is an action. Love is not an emotion. Love is action. And so when we think about that, we're here just to answer three questions in 15 minutes, if we can do that. Those three questions are this. The first one is, what is love? Don't start singing the song, okay? What is love? Think about love, that we shall love the Lord and that we shall love the neighbor. There is the word agape, and you have heard that if you have been in church around here anyway throughout the years. But an agape love is a self-sacrificing love. And I'm going to step out and say this. Mothers do that well. Jesus did that perfectly. Mothers do a great job at sacrificing of their own self for the good of the kids and the good of the household and the good of the husband and the good to make things work. Women, you should be commended for that. But Jesus done it perfectly. When we think of a self-sacrificing love, Jesus sacrificed his life for the love of us when we were unlovable, when we were covered with our sin, when we were deep in our sin, Jesus still loved us. And so when we think about the question, what is love? It is not an emotion that you can just produce on your own. If you are in a marriage situation and you are based on only on emotion, you will not last because our emotions change. Our bodies change. When I made a promise to my wife, for better or for worse, that commitment went beyond emotion into action. No matter what we go through, no matter what we come our way, I will love you. Now that's a different type of love. When I said yes to Jesus and his love for me, I understood what that agape, sacrificial love really is. And it is from that love that we can love others. It is not romantic love. It is not brotherly love. It is self-sacrificial love. When we were unlovable, he loved us. And I'm grateful for that. So before you can ever love somebody, here's the pastor's opinion. You must know Jesus' love first. Before you can ever love fully, you must understand and know Jesus' love. And then because he loves you and because he lives in you, then you will love others. That is the only way, and I'm going to get to this, that you will be able to love your enemy, is because Jesus loved you. There's a second question, and that question is this. Who should I love? Who should we love? As we read in the scripture today, Jesus says this, you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. When we think about this love, first to God above all others and then to our neighbor, we are able to love those that surround us. But in order for you to love those that are around you, you must love God. You must worship God. You must live for God. Jesus' words in verse number 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. In my Bible, I underline, I circle that word because God must be your God. You have to have a personal relationship. He has to be your Savior. And once he is your Savior, then you can extend that love. That's why loving God is the greatest commandment. We know this scripture, for God so loved the world. And we could stop right there. But that verse continues that he gave his only begotten Son. And we understand that through that giving of Jesus, God demonstrated his love. He moved aside heaven, if you will, in order to take your sin and to protect his relationship with you. He loves you enough to send his own son, Jesus, to the cross to die for your sin, that he may enter into relationship with you. The second love then extends to our neighbor, and we are to love them just as we love ourselves. Who is our neighbor? Here's the answer. Everybody. Everybody. Your neighbor is not confined to the house next door to you. It is the co-worker. It is the co-laborer. It is family that is extended. It is the stranger. It is the classmate. It is the people in this room today. It is the people that disagree. And even today, we must realize the neighbor could even be your enemy. Your enemy. Some of you can't get along with your neighbor. And so we need to know how to love. We look to Jesus, and then we need to know who to love. And all we have to do is just take a look around. Take a look around where you live life, and those people are your neighbors. Neighbors are not just houses that are next to you, but they are people that matter to a holy God. And so we understand that our neighbors are important in the eyes of Jesus, and he wants us to love them and love them well. There is a verse of scripture, then you don't have to turn there. I just want you to listen for time's sake. From Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 43. Early in the chapter, listen to this because I don't want to lose you here. Here's what Matthew writes in the words of Jesus. Verse number 43, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. How many of us know, just raise your hand real quick, how many of you know you're supposed to love your neighbor? The Bible tells us in the Old Testament book of Leviticus that we need to love our neighbor. That's where this is pulled from. But Jesus says in Matthew chapter number 5, there has been some redefinition of what love is. You can love your neighbor and you can hate your enemy. Jesus says, I heard it's been talking about. I heard that's the rule today. How many of you know that we live in a world that is trying to redefine what love is? And Jesus dealt with it. Jesus dealt with it. They try to add loving your neighbor means that you hate your enemy. And that is not right. Loving your neighbor today does not mean that you agree with everything they do. Loving your neighbor does not mean that you support them. Loving your neighbor means that you will pray for them and that you will tell them about Jesus and his great love. And so when I say that I love somebody, we often use this. We love the sinner, hate the sin. That's the motto of the church. But how many of you know that we often do it as sports fans or guys that like trucks or women that love the beat? I grew up a Cubs fan because I watched it on TV when I got off from school. That's how I became a Cubs fan. When I became a Cubs fan, I hated the White Sox. I hated the Braves. They always beat them, I know. They always beat the Cubs. I got myself a truck. The first truck I got was a Chevrolet. Then I moved to a Ford. When I got in the seat of that Ford, all the Chevy guys say, no, you'd have messed up. So here's what I'm trying to tell you. We define if you love something, then that means you've got to hate something else. Some of you women love the beach. If I offered to take you to Tennessee, you'd say, I don't want to go there. I don't like the mountains. Because you love the beach, you hate the mountain. Because you're a Ford guy, you hate everything else. Because you like one team, you hate all the others. And Jesus says this, because you heard that you're to love your neighbor, that means you are to hate your enemy. And so today, here's what I want you to know. That as we think about the hatred that is often involved, even in the believer's heart, it is pointed toward those that differ than what we think. Just because somebody has a different religion doesn't mean you hate them. You love them to Jesus. You show them Jesus. You win them to Jesus. That is our job. Just because somebody is of a different political party doesn't mean that you hate them. And we Christians are good at loving one and hating another. And Jesus addresses that in Matthew chapter number 5. He says, I heard that it's been said that if you love your neighbor, you must hate your enemy. And then we get out our little pens out of our pocket and we start checking off who our enemies are. But listen to Jesus' words as he corrects the culture about love. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 44. But I say unto you, Jesus says, this is what the world says. Jesus says, this is what I say. I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be children of your Father which is in heaven. So church, when we think about loving people and loving our neighbor, it must start to those who are close to you, and then it must branch out to those who even differ and hate you. Are we ready for that? Or do we need God to change our hearts a little bit more? If you are a Christian here today and you have hate in your heart, here's the simple prayer you need to pray. God, change me to be more like you, to love like you do. Who do we love? We love those that we come in contact with and that we are connected with and that are in our circle. We love our neighbors, and we are commanded to even love and pray for our enemies. There's a third question, and we're done, and that is this. How do I love? How do we love? Very quickly, Jesus says that we are to love the Lord in verse 37, with thy God, with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. The heart describes the center of who we are. It describes the seat of where we come from an emotional standpoint and a spiritual standpoint. But the heart can't love something where evil flows from it. The Bible says, out of the heart is the wellspring of both good and evil in people. And so out of that heart, it's hard to love if evil is there. The center of who we are, the center of what we think and say and do, is often spoken of in the Bible as the heart. It is the being in which we are loving from. There are some of you that I would say have hearts as big as Texas in here, because you love everybody. And there are some in this room, and even in my life, and even me at times, even me yesterday, that could be so cold-hearted to the people that are closest to you. So when we can't love those that are close to us, it's hard to love those who are different from us. But you got to love out of the heart. You got to love with all your soul. I heard a pastor the other day speaking from Genesis chapter number 2. As God breathed breath into the life of Adam's nostrils, it made man a living soul. And that man became part physical, but it became part soulful as well. He has a soul. How many of you know today that you have a soul? Yes. There are two parts to you. There is a physical part, and there is a soul-filled part. And we need to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul. Who we are spiritually needs to love God and love Him with all that we have. How many of you know that our soul is going to live forever? In one or two places, your soul will live forever. And so you've got to get that love with the Lord right out of your soul. Don't just love Him with your heart. Don't just love Him with your mind, in which we're going to. You've got to love Him with all that you are. The third point is the mind, intellect, and attitude. It is a desire to continue to learn and grow in Christ. It's not simply meditating on Jesus all day, but it is the fact that you want to learn and you want to grow and you want to change to become more like your Savior. So when we think about those three things, we're commanded to love the Lord with our heart, with our soul, and our mind. Mark's gospel has strength. We love Him with all that we are. And then we're to love our neighbor as ourself. Basically, what you're to do, and here's what I want you to understand. When it comes to loving others, you don't have to pray about it because you've been commanded to do it. So you don't have to hold a big prayer meeting and revival and say, should I do this? Maybe there are certain situations you do. But if you see a need and you can meet that need, do it. Because you've been told to do it. We have missed chances and opportunities because we have had to pray for it and we have sat on our haunches and done absolutely nothing when Jesus commands us just to do it. And do it out of the spirit of love. Don't do it for recognition. Do it from the spirit of love. If you see a need, meet it. If you see somebody walking through a valley, walk with them. If you see somebody celebrating on the mountaintop, join them in celebration. Pull in beside them. Love them. And here is the way this scripture ends today. Look at verse number 40. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet. As I wrote those words down in my notes, I looked around me in my office. I have all kind of pictures hanging. And immediately my mind went through the little bit of OCD that I have, and I began to look and seeing how many of those pictures were hung straight and how many were crooked. Most of them were straight because my wife did it, okay? She helped me do it. But I went to those pictures and I began to look at those pictures as they were hung. See, here's what it boils down to. If I could take this book and I could sum it up very quickly for you, here is the gist of this book. Jesus desires your love for him. And then from that, you love other people like he loved you. Jesus says, on this hangs everything. Hangs everything. When we think of our nails in the wall and the pictures hanging, they are displayed for all to see. When you walk in my house, you're going to see my family in pictures. You're going to see some cute sayings on the wall. You're going to see some farm scenes. That's what's displayed. But when people look at your life, when they look at your house, what will they see that is hanging in your life? What will be displayed? Here's all Jesus asked. Display my love. Church, today, what must we do in order to understand, in order to love? Here's the greatest thing you can do. Look at that old rugged cross. And on that old rugged cross, that is the greatest display of love. Jesus died for every one of you. Every one of you. Jesus gave his life for our sins in order to have a relationship with us all. Today, if you're looking around your house, your spiritual house, and you say, I don't see the love of God displayed, just look to the cross. Because the blood of Jesus can cover a multitude of sin. So today, I invite you to the greatest love. If you do not know what love is, if you don't know how to love, if you don't know who should you love Jesus first. Look at the cross. Look at his love and his payment for sin. Repent and turn and believe in Jesus and begin that relationship today. Christian, brother and sister, Pastor Mike told me a long time ago, when you are a pastor, people are people. And I'm going to say this. Some people make it hard to love. But that's no excuse. Because you've been commanded by God Almighty to love even the unlovable. Even the enemy. And so today I pray this is a revival of the hearts of the Christians in this room and that are watching live stream today. That God would press upon our heart. The greatest commandment is display the love of Christ. And I pray when anybody sees Jeffrey, they see Jesus. I don't want them to see anything else other than a man that loves Jesus and has impacted my life and changed my life. That way I can love others in his name. And so today, here's the invitation. Whether it's at your seat or at this altar, come to him. If you need to know what love is, seek after Jesus. Today, if you're a believer and you need to love more like I do, today we can take notes and learn from the best, and that is Jesus Himself. Maybe the heart of our prayer today as believers needs to be this: Jesus, just make me more like You. Father God, Lord, thank You. Thank You, Lord, today that in the moment of invitation, Lord, that You will just be with the stumbling tongue and make it Your word. Lord, that You will be with the hard heart and begin to soften. Lord, that You will be in relationships, Lord, where people have made it hard to love one another. And teach them that, Lord, through Your strength and Your strength alone, that they can love again. Thank You, Lord, that love is not seated on emotion, but love is seated in action. Lord, I pray, Lord, a call to action of Clifford Baptist Church today, that we love one another. We love our neighbor. But before we can do any of that, Lord, make us people that love You and desire You and become more like You. God, start with me. That is my prayer. God, today, that one heart that needs You, that needs Your love and forgiveness, God, I pray that Your Holy Spirit work in only the way that it can to draw that one today. God, we thank You for Your work. We trust it to You now, in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to Truth for the Journey from Clifford Baptist Church. You're always welcome to visit Clifford Baptist Church for Sunday school at 9:45, worship at 11 a.m., and Wednesday evening worship at 7 p.m. If you feel led to support the radio ministry of Clifford Baptist Church, please send your tax-deductible donation to Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road, Amherst, Virginia, 24521. For a copy of this or any service, call 434-946-0555 or online at cliffordbaptist.org. Thank you, and join us again next Sunday for Truth for the Journey.